Hi, I'm Clayton Whitehead, sitting in for Tom Romano. Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Carnival says drinking is going to cost more, my favorite Washington, D.C. museum is shutting down, and Uber's safety reports are back in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we discuss formal attire on cruise ships and the value of airline club memberships.
As a club member yourself, Clayton, I thought that would be a good topic for us to discuss. GoGo Grandparent, a ride-sharing service, was first featured here a couple of years ago at 3:35, we check back in with them for an update.
Between us, Mark and I have an amazing 80 years of experience on the road leading organized tours. How do we get to be so old? At 3:50, we discuss a list of 11 secrets of tour directors and perhaps add one or two of our own.
How did we get to be so old? How did you get to be so old? Leave me out of this. Everyone is busy this week with the holidays, so thank you for taking the time to spend part of your Sunday afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want and man.
I come from a la la la.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys. Just, I was just waiting for the audience, you know, the applause to die down there because that's really the best part.
Golf clap.
Clayton Whitehead in for Tom Romano, who is making his way back from San Antonio on a variety of airplanes, hopefully. And we'll be back here next week. He went down there for the holidays. Clayton, welcome to the Travel Guys. You've been here before.
I have, once or twice.
Welcome back. We have a good show today. We have a live guest at the bottom of the hour from GoGo Grandparent, which is a ride-sharing service for mature travelers, for folks who are not doing their ride-sharing on their phone, but on their app, but would rather be able to make a phone call. So we'll get an update from them on their service. We're going to talk about formal nights on cruise ships and all kinds of interesting things. Mr. Whitehead, where were you for the holidays?
I was at Sushi Christmas.
Sushi Christmas.
Yes, I went up into the foothills, up to my friend's house in Shingle Springs, and about, 15 or 20 of us were gathered, and we had a no-cook Christmas.
Wow. Sounds... So was there turkey?
There was no turkey. It was a no-cook Christmas.
Well, I knew
now,
that.
Back home,
but I was just...
we call it bait. But since I've been a Californian, my tastes are somewhat more refined.
A no-cook Christmas.
Sushi Christmas now. Sushi Christmas.
Okay. I was in Phoenix with a group of sports leisure travelers. We went down there and had a really good time. Had Christmas dinner at a place called Rustler's Roost, which was kind of fun. And
I remember going there for Christmas a number of years ago, and this was a number of years ago, mm-hmm. and we went by Irma Bombeck's house, and there was cactuses all decorated, I should say cacti, all decorated in her front yard. That was quite some time ago, but it was really nice. I remember that.
Any New Year's plans? I'm just kind of hanging out.
New Year's. Minestrone. Minestrone soup.
I see. Okay.
Going to my friend Judy's house, and we're having her family tradition. It's what you do with the leftover beef roast and the bone from Christmas dinner.
At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you the travel news. Huey Lewis brings us the music, and we bring you the news here on the Travel Guys. Carnival Cruise Line says that they are increasing the drink package price on shorter cruises. It's going to cost you $5 more on 3 and 4 day cruises. $55 to buy a drink package before you get on board and $60 to buy it on board. Clayton, you do way more cruising than I do. That seems like a lot of money.
Well, I tell you, if there's any incentive for not drinking, I think it's going on a cruise. It is so bloody expensive. And you know, you can't get wise and think you're going to buy it at the shore excursions Because when you come back on board,
they don't let you bring it on.
Yeah, they have airport style security. They'll take anything other than like one bottle of water or one bottle of pop away from you, but they kindly put your name on it and save it until you exit the ship.
And they will allow you to bring like one of the, I think it's Carnival, is switching from Coke products to Pepsi products. And so they said, well, don't despair. You can bring, you know, a six pack of your favorite, but there's strict limits on what you can bring.
Yes.
Because, of course, for every Pepsi, for every soda or bottle of water that you bring on in your suitcase, that's an extra $3, $4, $5, $6 that they can't charge you.
I don't think there's anything that starts with three or four.
Three or four. So yeah. I'm guessing the $60 is just, that's for non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah, they have a soft drink package, which is their lowest tier. And then at least on Holland America, my most recent big ship cruise, then they had a middle tier that was beer and wine, and then they had the, you know, hard alcohol tier.
I can't go cruising on big ships anymore because I feel like that every time I turn around, somebody has their hand in my back pocket. And I pay them a price, and then I get on board and I find out that, well, the shore excursions weren't included and the gratuities weren't included. But, you know, the gratuities, we'll add those to your bill automatically, so you don't have to worry about that at all. Don't bother yourself with, we'll add what we think is the appropriate number. And then you're just kind of stuck with that. And you get on board and you find out you can't eat in certain restaurants unless you pay an upcharge and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, there's lots of profit centers. I still think cruising is a very good way to travel. And it's certainly very good for certain people, but it's not for everybody.
Tony Award-winning composer Jerry Herman has passed away. Since we are the travel and occasionally entertainment guys, he wrote Broadway favorites such as Mame, Hello Dolly, La Cage aux Folles. He also won two Grammys for the Hello Dolly music. And so Jerry Herman, a longtime Broadway composer, is dead. Another helicopter crash in the Hawaiian Islands. All of the bodies have been recovered. This brings up something, Clayton, that for a number of years now at Sports Leisure Vacations, we have really tried to avoid helicopter flights, especially whenever there is a fixed wing aircraft flight available. I just think that the statistics prove that those are a lot safer. And one thing that I believe will happen as a result of what has happened here is that when you're flying in a helicopter, generally the pilot is the guide. Not generally, I have never seen it ever be any different. Helicopters are, as a good friend of ours could tell you, are a very complicated piece of equipment. And a lot of things can go wrong and a lot of things can require the attention of the pilot. What they're talking about here is that helicopter pilots will no longer be helicopter tour narrators. So that there'll either have to be recorded narration or there'll have to be someone else in the helicopter. My guess is it will be recorded because giving up a seat wouldn't work. But fixed wing aircraft, I think, is by far the way to.
And equally exciting, I think, when you're zipping around through the valleys and mountains in Hawaii.
I think so. Just a little bit more safe. The Washington Post has an article this week about Uber. Says Uber knows more about its rape problem than anybody else. What should it do with that data? It turns out that as we've talked here in recent weeks about Uber's safety report, that they were very late in releasing. And then when they released it, it had some very interesting things in it. Only 37% of the reported rape cases in Uber's safety report get to law enforcement. Uber's system is basically set up to, you tell us, it's up to you who else you tell. So that's it's a alarm or something there. Do you have something, an alarm? Or
I'm on silence, Mr. Mark, promise.
Telephone ringing here. It's not, let's see if it's my cell phone here. It's not my So who's on the phone? Hello there. Hello, travel guys.
Ho, 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 ho. No, it's not Santa Claus. It's your old travel guy partner, Romano.
Oh, hey.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Lost Wages. You're making your way. That's one of your favorite places.
It is. You know, for somebody like my wife and I who love to gamble, if you get stuck in the Vegas airport for 2 hours and 40 minutes is a dream come true.
So what has it costed you, Tom?
Anyway, hey, look, I just thought I'd call in and give you the six most important words.
Okay.
That I have learned for traveling. And it starts in Sacramento when we flew out on Christmas Eve. The words are free check, free check, free check. If you haven't got it yet, you better get it, because especially if you're going to travel during the holidays, you know, getting through the TSA lines can be maddening. So get your pre-check. Fortunately for me, even though I don't have it as a purchase, I managed to get it on our flights, and it made a world of difference. Flew out of San Antonio this morning, actually around noon, and it was smooth sailing, no problems. Vegas is clear, a lot of people flying, but it's moving along quite well. You know, we talked, Mark, a lot about the 29th being the busiest day for flying home today, Sunday.
Yep.
You know, no delays for Southwest getting here. However, I flew my older daughter out of San Antonio last evening. She was going to go to Orange County and spend a little bit of time at Disneyland before she came home. She had a 7:45 flight that not only was it delayed, but it was 3 hours. Eventually, it was canceled, and she was put on another flight that was also delayed. It must have taken her 9 hours to get to Los Angeles out of San Antonio. And here again, you know, the rule is go to the airport when your flight is scheduled, whether there are delays or not, because when she got there, she discovered they had rebooked her on a completely different plane. Mm-hmm. And here's another piece of advice. If you go to check your luggage in and you go to the kiosk and you punch in your codes, you know, for your ticket, you put in your confirmation number and it refuses to give you one. And you go, what's wrong with my confirmation? Did I mess up? What it's telling you is it's telling you that you're not getting on that flight. You need to go to the desk and find out where they're going to send you, because they're not going to take your luggage until they book you on the alternate flight.
Like we tell folks, is have that app on your phone of who you're flying with, because in many cases, it will save you from having to be on hold for a long time or being in a long line. Travel safely, my friend. You got one more leg to come home. Try and pick up a few bucks there before boarding, huh?
You got it, my friend. You guys have a great show. Clayton, thanks for filling in for me. Well, there you go.
We'll see you next week. Tom Romano from Las Vegas. Hey, Clayton, one other quick thing here on the travel news before we wrap up. The museum is closing in Washington, D.C. at the end of the year. There had been some thoughts that it might they might find another spot. They were on... right down there on Constitution, they had a great piece of real estate, and
I think their real estate was one of their best assets, and also was kind of what led to their demise. They built a new building, having started. They opened originally across the river in the town of Arlington, and then they moved down to Pennsylvania Avenue, right next to the Canadian Embassy, a few years ago, and it was a very expensive piece of real estate. And it was an excellent museum. If you don't know, friends, the museum was is for a few more days, a museum dedicated to our First Amendment right to freedom of press. And it was a very topical, very current, extremely interesting museum, even for somebody who isn't a news junkie like myself. But they had to charge admission. You know,
right.
they didn't have the government backing them like all the Smithsonians.
And that ultimately was their demise, was because no matter how good they were, all of those other museums are really good, too.
Right. A $25 ticket is hard against free.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you're and part of their market was student groups, of course.
Yeah.
And educating them. And I just to me, the best part about the museum, if you've never been to Washington, D.C. since it opened, was you could walk past the museum on any given day, and there was a front page of a newspaper from every single state in the country.
Now, I saw at least one news clip. By the way, John Hopkins University has bought the facility, and they're going to have their political campus right there in the middle of everything, right? So good for those students.
Right.
But I've understood in some of the readings that I've seen that they're going to keep that wall of front pages. So it'll still be your opportunity to see first page news.
Oh, that will be cool.
From around the world every day.
Because it would take me 45 minutes to get past there. I would spend a day lobbying up on the hill, and then I would walk back to the hotel, walk past Capitol Mall and past the museum and get the news of the day and stuff like that. So I will miss it. For sure, the museum in Washington, D.C., its last day will be Tuesday. And that's your travel news for today. Coming up next, we will make you a smarter traveler. We're going to talk a little bit about formal nights on cruises, about clubs and airports. Is it worth it to pay $400 or $500? Is it worth it to have an American Express Platinum card that you pay a lot of money for to get admission to those clubs? Mr. Clayton Whitehead is a club member himself, and he will weigh in next on The Travel Guys. 737 call.
coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight?
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. You can find links to everything we talk about on today's show at travelguysradio.com. You can also sign up for our podcasts.
You just rocking and rolling.
I'm sorry,
there.
I was rocking and I missed my cue. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a amateur. What can I say?
Well, that's okay. That's why we're flying Mr. Romano back.
Yes. Note, I have a face for television.
Formal nights on cruise ships. I saw this. And I thought to myself, yay.
And I said, oh.
We used to go to conventions, and you used to have to take, you went to a travel convention, and you had appointments for 3 or 4 days, and you took a coat and tie, and you didn't want to wear the same coat and tie on consecutive days. So you took at least 3 coats and ties and shirts and all of those things. You can't wear dress shirts more than one day. And so you had all this stuff. You had to bring an entire extra suitcase just full of all of these clothes. Cruise ships used to be the same way.
And including formal nights.
They would snap your picture all over
maybe
the place.
Theme nights.
And yeah, all of this kind of stuff. And a lot of people now have said, adopting the Mark Hoffman theory of, what's wrong with Dockers, a nice shirt, and some tennis shoes? Is that a problem for somebody? I mean, I bathe every day. My clothes are clean.
Well, my take's a little different because okay. I like to dress up.
Uh-huh.
But for me, the big thing has been is the luggage situation. You know, I mean, we're paying $60 round trip in most situations for our first bag. If we have to take a second bag or a third bag, all of a sudden you're shucking out $200 or $300 for luggage to have that outfit for the one night. So I kind of think the luggage situation has brought down a lot of it.
Well, and let's face it. I mean, I don't want to say anything that somebody who runs a cruise ship is going to be mad about, but staterooms on cruise ships are about the size of clothes closets. So, I mean, it's not like you have an abundance of space unless you paid an ungodly amount of money to have something that's the size of a regular hotel room. So having all of that stuff, it has to go someplace. It has to be stored someplace in your room. Extra suitcases and all. I mean, the cruise ship staterooms are not set up for that. I'm put me down in the category of I'm glad it's gone. I think it's nice if you want to have a theme night or something like that and a party and, you know, an 80s party or something like that. And everybody dress up in stuff from that era, or you do some kind of crazy costume thing, that's fine. People can play if they want to, but I don't think people should be upset that other people don't want to haul all that stuff around with them for cruise ships.
Well, and you know, another thing, they have so many multiple dining rooms on all the large boats now. Maybe just one of the restaurants or dining rooms could have the theme or the formal night, and all the rest can be normal for people who don't want to mess
with
it.
How is it that a cruise line can, with a straight face, sell you a package and say it's all-inclusive, and then you find out, well, it's only all-inclusive if you eat in McDonald's on board the ship. If you want to eat in a real restaurant,
the Lido deck is different from McDonald's.
You know, I mean, we've got the buffet, which is, you know, and then we've got, $20 here and $30 here. You can't bring this on board because we want to sell it to you. And I just, at the end of the day, it didn't surprise me when a cruise industry person told me one day that, and this has been a number of years ago, so it may be worse now, told me that the cruise line's goal is to get at least as much money from you on board as they got from you before you got on board.
I would say that's
so if you paid $1,000 for the cruise, they plan on getting another $1,000 from you while you're on board.
Lots of profit centers.
Buying things that are worth nothing, that you would never even consider buying on the mainland, but you're standing around with nothing to do and you've decided, never mind. United has changed their club access.
Of course they have.
Now you must be flying the Star Alliance to access, even if you have. This applies to everyone, including people who bought lifetime memberships, in the Continental Club years ago. Can they really do that? Can they tell people you can? Yeah, we told you could come in all the time, but we've changed our mind now.
Yeah, I think they can because they do.
You belong to...
I am a member of United, and actually this year, for the first time flying internationally, I was turned down at a Star Alliance lounge. Even though I'm Star Alliance Gold, and even though I was a United member, they would not let me in. And it would probably be a more interesting story if I could remember where I was. But it was somewhere far away.
Somewhere far away. So what do you pay for? Do you buy yours with points or every year, or do you pay
there
dollars?
Is a point opportunity. I use dollars. Actually, mine is through having the Chase branded United Visa card.
Uh-huh.
But not the Explorer card that they advertise all the time. But the Club Explorer card.
How do you keep track of all of these different? Every airline has four different cards. Southwest has four or five cards. Amex has more cards than you have fingers on your two hands.
Well, I tell you, the reason that I gave in and wrote the check and joined was I had a year where I had three or four misconnects. And I was in a long, long service line. I was on my phone. I was frustrated.
Oh, so you use it to get to somebody. You
yeah. So whereas,
the club.
You know, the pleasure of the lounge is nice. You know, the free bar is nice. The food is nice. But being able to be in a very, very short line or no line at all and walk up to a service person mm-hmm. who can help you and who seems to be pretty
incentivized.
Incentivized, that's it. They seem to be very incentivized to help you. I want to think maybe the more senior employees work
call.
In the lounge.
Absolutely.
And when I'm traveling with 20 or 30 or 40 people, mm-hmm. guess what? I take them along with me.
You want every asset that you can get if you get into a tough situation of being able to get to real people. So let me ask you, if you had to pay $400 or $500 a year to belong to an airline club, you're a 75,000 mile a year flyer with United, probably, 100 and a quarter altogether. Would you pay that?
Well, I do.
Yeah.
And so the answer is yes.
And you do. And you consider it to be of good value.
I consider it to be of good value.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, and I'm the kind of guy that, you know, those 3 and 4 hour layovers don't come up that often. And so, you know, I would just open the laptop and sit in a chair in the corner of the airport. And because if the airport is crowded, the club's crowded too. So anyway, I just thought this was an interesting subject because of the change, and a lot of the old Continental and United people who bought lifetime things are saying, how can you do this to us? And you're a guy who pays your way in every year, so there you go. After the news break, we hope we're going to have a live guest here from GoGo Grandparent to talk a little bit about their service for mature travelers, their ride-sharing service. And then Clayton and I are going to talk about the secrets of 11 secrets of tour directors coming up here on The Travel Guys. You can also find more about the show at travelguysradio.com. And you can subscribe to our podcast there and get it in your mailbox every week, travelguysradio.com. We'll be right back with the second half of The Travel Guys right here on News Radio KFBK.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys on KFBK 93.1 FM, 1530 AM. We are so glad to have you here. And you can learn more about us at travelguysradio.com, including getting on our podcast mailing list so you can listen to this very show over and over and over again.
And again, if you have, you know, sleep problems at night or something, you just listen to The Travel Guys over and over and over again. We have a guest on the phone, and Garen Sue is with GoGo Grandparent. Darren, welcome to The Travel Guys.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Hey, buddy. We last talked to you folks. It's been a ways back. How are things at GoGo Grandparent?
It's been going excellent. Going into 2020, we'll be marching into our fourth year of serving older adults, and we couldn't be more happy about it.
So, Darren, is there anything new at GoGo Grandparent? It seems like some of these delivery things and stuff would kind of play right into what you guys do. Have you guys expanded any of your service? Do you have any new things going on at GoGo Grandparent?
Yep, you hit the nail on the head. We've recently rolled out our newest line of service, GoGo Gourmet. That would be the meal delivery side of things. And it's always been within our vision to go into different line of services than just the ride side. So we're excited to have our first new product offering out there also.
Well, and it seems like if you are serving a mature clientele, a demographic like that, it would seem like things like having prescriptions delivered, you know, medications or groceries, things like that would be for folks who have mobility issues and stuff like that. Is that kind of the direction that some of your services are headed?
Exactly. That's in our sights for 2020, and we're excited to start a pilot program and then just to get the kinks out of the way, and then we could roll it out to everybody.
At our tour company here in Sacramento, we have an older clientele, a mature clientele, and a number of them use your services and have commented
on the services themselves. Clayton, do you have a question?
Yeah, Darren, can you just tell our listeners what communities you serve?
So we serve anywhere that Lyft and Uber are available for our ride side of things. That is nationwide and in Canada, so it's pretty widely covered. It's over 11,000 cities at this point.
So explain to our listeners who might not have heard of GoGo Grandparent before exactly how it works, if you would.
All right, I'd be happy to. So with GoGo Grandparent, it's a phone number, a 24/7 hotline that you could call to request a Lyft or Uber. And if for those that aren't familiar with Lyft or Uber, it's a ride share. You typically would need a smartphone to request a ride, and one would pick you up about 10 minutes from when you ordered it. They're pretty widely available in most areas. But with GoGo Grandparent, we've removed the need for that smartphone. So you could call from a landline, a flip phone, or even a smartphone if you had one but didn't want to use the app directly.
So how is the billing, Darren, how does the billing work? If with, say, if I'm using my smartphone and I go downstairs and I call a rideshare, then they've already got my credit card information and stuff. I call them on my phone. They show up. No money changes hands. I just go get where I'm going. So how does that work with GoGo Grandparent Sense? Is that something that folks set up with you ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah, so there would be a account creation process needed before the very first time that someone used our service. And along with taking their billing information so no cash changes hands, we make some notes for the drivers for ourselves, just some basic information about them, maybe if they have ambulatory needs that we need to be specially aware about, things like that.
So when we had, is it Justin who runs?
Yes, okay. Justin Bogard is one of our founders.
I couldn't remember if it was Justin or Dustin. When Justin was on with us before, he mentioned that you guys have a little bit of a process with Uber and Lyft where you're able to screen the drivers where they know that they are picking up a mature traveler who might need a little bit of different type of assistance than maybe the typical ride-sharing customer.
Yeah, so that's one of the beauties about GoGo Grandparent. We work with the drivers to ensure that the our audience of riders, the more mature age, has the best process that they need to go through. So we only take the highest rated drivers. Out of a 5-star rating, we only match with 4.56 star rated and above. And we also let them know, the drivers know, that they're taking a GoGo Grandparent. Here's the notes that we have gotten, such as they are using a walker or maybe they might have a visual impairment, things like that.
So how are the drivers and the customers responding to the service? You said you're entering your fourth year, so obviously it's something that's working on some level.
Exactly, yeah. So over the years, we've gathered a database of drivers that love matching with our customers and some that might prefer to just take the regular Uber and Lyft rides directly. That's why when we always match with the driver, we give them the option of letting them know, hey, if you don't want to take a GoGo Grandparent, that's totally fine. Let us know and we'll not match with you again in the future. So we have our own database built up of people that like to work with us and those that rather not.
Darren, is there anything that you would like to share with our audience, anything that we haven't talked about here that prospective customers or current customers, ride-sharing customers of GoGo Grandparent would like to know? By the way, there's a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. If you wish, if you're driving around right now and you can't write it down, well, you can go and refer there earlier. But is there anything that you would like to share with our folks that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, so with GoGo Grandparent, we have some safety features that go above and beyond just the picking up and dropping off of a passenger.
Perfect.
We'll have a family member contact if they have one on file. Every time they take a trip, we'll update them. Hey, your loved one's taking a trip. Here's their driver information, and we'll let them know when they get dropped off. Along with that, we have a separate team, which we like to call the GoGo Guardians, that monitor each and every ride and work with the passenger before the ride is actually set up to ensure that each pickup goes smoothly. This is a rather new addition, as we're always constantly growing our team. But what happens here is, traditionally, if you use Uber and Lyft directly, everyone that uses it has a smartphone, and with having a smartphone comes a GPS in your hand. So that makes it easier for the drivers to locate you.
Right.
But what we learned with GoGo Grandparent, because you don't have that smartphone GPS in your hand at all times, it might take a little bit of work on our side to ensure the pickup goes 100% smoothly if the address they want to get picked up at might be a little trickier, like a large shopping mall or a large hospital with multiple pickup entrances.
Darren, last question before I let you go. Yeah. Because there's an extra layer of service involved here, and service costs money, obviously the GoGo Grandparent is a little bit more expensive than the other ride shares. Can you give us some idea of what that extra cost might be?
Yeah, so it comes out to about $3 to $4 more on average. How it actually breaks down is it's a 27 cents per minute charge for the duration of the ride. Extra on top of the Lyft or Uber fare. And
okay.
Rates vary nationwide, but we'd be happy to give you a free quote if you just give our 24/7 operators a call. And they'd be able to get you a real-time quote.
Do you find, Darren, that a lot of your customers now are coming from repeat customers or referrals from other folks who have used the service?
Yeah, so our largest way of growing our customer base so far has been through word of mouth. And so there's been many people that use us for daily commutes or daily trips to the doctor's office or wherever they need to go. There's some weekly and some more one-off time users that use us only when they need to. But we've been partnering with municipalities, hospitals, and communities to try to expand the accessibility of GoGo for everyone that would like to use us.
Awesome. Awesome. GoGo Grandparent, it's ride sharing. Basically, it's ride sharing for folks who don't do the app thing. Who, if grandma is, if she can pick up the phone and call for, if she can call for a taxi cab, then she can call for GoGo Grandparent. And the chances of her getting somebody who would be a little bit more understanding of what the situation might be and what might be entailed there would be much greater. So it sounds like, I know I have a lot of clients that have used it, Clayton, a lot of sports leisure travelers use it. So I wish you guys all the luck in the world. Keep us in mind. If you have any kinds of updates to your service or anything, be sure to give us a shout. Thank you, Darren, for joining us on a Sunday afternoon.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. GoGo Grandparent, the ride sharing for mature adults. We're going to take a break, and when we come back here at News 93.1 KFBK, Clayton and I are going to talk about the secrets of tour directors. What are some of the things that are true? What are some of the myths? And what can we add to the list right here on The Travel Guys?
I'm on my way.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. It's Mark Hoffman and Clayton Whitehead sitting in for Tom Romano.
You're sitting in for Tom Romano, or I'm sitting in for Tom Romano? He's a pretty big star.
Wait, so is that a trick question?
Does it take two people to sit in for Tom Romano?
Mr. Mark, we have had some callers asking specific questions about GoGo Grandparent.
Uh-huh.
One of them is, again, about their service area. So they will serve anywhere that Uber and Lyft goes.
Yep. So someone was asking about outlying areas to Sacramento. So the answer is yes, they go there. You can find them on the web at gogograndparent.com. Or let me see here. I guess this would have made sense to have.
I know in the office we have their 800 number on a handy dandy little postcard right by the phone.
Their 800 number, I could say, we'll get it off the internet. But of course, if you weren't a computer person, which is why you would be using GoGo Grandparent in the first place, you wouldn't. Their phone number is area code 855-464-6872. That's 855-464-6872. Or if you want to remember it this way, it's 855-GO-GO-USA. That's how you reach the ride-sharing folks, go-go grandparent.
And of course, because they charge by the mile and by the minute for those living in outlying areas, it's going to be a little bit more. But if your choice is no ride or this, it's probably a pretty good deal.
And I think the fact that they are making an effort to provide a level of service that they're trying to match people, they're saying to the driver, look, you know, if you're not somebody who has a little bit more patience, and you're, and this is something you want to do, if you don't want to do this, then that's fine, move on to the next rider. But I'm guessing, you know, I find Uber and Lyft drivers in generally to be fairly personable people, or at least nice people. You know, some of them have bigger personalities than others, but I'm guessing a lot of them have grandparents and parents and things like that that they take care of. So it wouldn't surprise me that this seems to me like a perfect ride sharing sort of thing. And plus, you know, grandma can't get 2 miles away to pick up the prescription that she suddenly needed. And, you know, getting it mailed is 2 or 3 days. So these guys can pick it up for a few bucks and get it to her. If you can afford that kind of service, then it seems like it would solve a lot of problems.
Well, I know a number of our clients who have used it and only had great things to say. So,
well, there you go. Secrets of tour directors.
Tour directors get paid to travel the world, dine at incredible restaurants, and sleep in comfy hotel beds. They get paid to go on vacation for a living.
Uh-huh.
I am quoting 11 Secrets of Tour Directors by Emily Petsko from a recent Mental Floss magazine.
Yeah, this is Mental Floss is an online website.
I think you still call it a magazine, though.
You think so?
Well, it has articles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this has 11 tips, and I thought, you know, perhaps we could quickly go over these, and maybe we can add one or two of our own, since you took great care to. I wrote in the headlines that we had 60 years of tour directing experience between us, but
indeed,
then you figured out that it
Mr. Mark's been doing this 42 years, and I've been doing it 38. That is 80, just about any way you add it up.
Wow. So the first one on the list here, it says formal training into, if you want to be a tour director, that this is one of the quote secrets is formal training in tourism isn't required.
And I would agree. I think the best education, air quote education, is being well traveled, because you can best take people places that you've been to before, where you have some familiarity with the lay of the land.
And the next education is just being a outgoing, nice person. I've always said that great tour directors are born, not made. You either have the propensity to, and I can think of people who are currently on our staff and people who have worked at Sports Leisure Vacations in the past, and I can think of people who are incredibly outgoing, can connect with just about anybody. No matter how much of a pain in the rear end that person is, they can smile and give them their best effort and close the door and mumble about them later. So I think it's a skill. Like anything else, you know,
absolutely,
some people are born to be doctors and some people are born to be baseball players. And I think the tour director is something that
you have to really love your constituency, whether it's a senior adult group, a student group, maybe a birding group or some other niche market. Mm-hmm. You have to love those people. If you're only doing it because you want to go on vacation for a living, you ain't going to last. You're not going to be happy very long.
Second thing on the list, when they're on a tour, they're on call 24/7.
So true. Period.
Period. Yeah.
Nothing else to discuss.
No, there isn't. But again, that comes with the territory. You wouldn't have any other expert. You're in charge. You've got a bunch of people who depend on you. If they have some sort of an emergency, why then you're going to be the go-to person.
Right on.
And you need to be prepared.
As it should
for that.
Be. That's what we're getting paid to do.
Exactly. They hate it. Tour directors hate it, as you just referred to, when you call their job a free vacation. So how many people do you know who say, oh, well, you go on vacation for a living. You don't actually work for a living.
Yeah, I want to slap them.
Yeah, because if you've ever been in an airport when you've missed your connection or the airplane is sitting at the gate with a mechanical delay and you've been there for 2.5 hours and nobody really knows when the plane is going to go, if it's going to go, and it's getting deeper into the night. I remember you calling one time from O'Hare Airport and
I had a regular room at the O'Hare Hilton for
This has been a long time ago, before cell phones. And you called and said, do you know anything from United? Have you heard anything? Do you have any kind of update? Please tell me something, because there are 25 pairs of eyes staring at me right now, and they're all expecting me to pull a rabbit out of my hat. So please say something, anything, even if it's not progress that I can report back to them.
Yeah, I think I spent that night in Chicago, as I recall.
Uh-huh. Number four on the list is they go through a lot of shoes and luggage.
Luggage for sure.
Uh-huh. You bought some pretty good luggage a few years back.
Yes. To incriminate anybody, I won't call the brand name.
Eagle Creek.
But yeah, I'll put a big air quote on their lifetime guarantee.
You think so?
Yeah. One suitcase cost me almost $400. And let's just say they did not stand behind their guarantee. And I take every possible opportunity to tell people that Eagle Creek is not so good.
I miss John Holloway and Travel Outfitters
too.
Because whenever you had a problem with a suitcase or something like that, or you had a problem with a supplier who wouldn't fix it for you, you took it to John and somehow magically, I don't know if he fixed it in his back room or he sent it off to somebody or he just convinced them to do the right thing.
John just had a way.
He had an amazing way of doing things. Tour directors are trained to anticipate the worst.
That's crisis management. That's just us doing our jobs.
Yeah. If something less serious goes wrong, you probably won't know about it. In other words, if you're out on a trip with a group, you may be aware of one or two things that didn't quite go right, but it's entirely possible. But there's another half dozen or dozen things that didn't quite go right behind the scenes, and you just didn't find out about it. Is that what you say? That's an accurate statement.
Absolutely.
As a tour director, you frequently are hustling behind the scenes to make sure that, you know, it's kind of like Oz. You know, don't go behind the curtain. It's everything that's out.
Well, things go wrong all the time, just a little wrong, and you fix them. That's what you're there for.
I thought this one was kind of funny. Tour directors really like tall people. And then I had to read this to see what they were talking about when they said tall people.
Designated bring up the rear person,
Yeah, you see tour directors with the umbrella, you know, or the flag or something like that. I found that you just wear a bright colored shirt will help a lot. But I guess a tall person would be helpful too. That was kind of strange.
Well, I'm a little bit vertically challenged.
The next one on this list of secrets of tour directors, sometimes they have to break up fights.
Never. Now, but I have had to pull a few people away from the bar.
I one time on an airplane, there was a customer one time, guy put his seat back.
Oh, go ahead.
On an airplane and into a traveler's lap and he was going to duke it out with the guy. And I remember kind of from a few rows away being a little bit involved in that. But no, I'm breaking up fights. I'm a lover, not a fighter. If you want to fight, why, go ahead and do it. But I'm not going to. I'll call the police and they'll come and take care of it. They often depend on tips is on this list.
But many companies pay extremely low wages to drivers as well as tour guides and escorts and whatnot.
Knowing that the public will make up the difference in gratuities.
And sometimes the employee is responsible for doing optional sales, like a optional sightseeing tour, a museum visit, where they get commissions. Some companies do that. We don't. I don't know.
At Sports Leisure Vacations, the tour directors are fairly paid, a reasonable wage, a living wage. Do they appreciate gratuities? Absolutely, they do. It's two things. It's cash in your pocket, and it's also a very solid way of letting somebody know that they've done a good job. So tipping, whether you are in favor of it or not, is a part of our society, and particularly when we travel. And I could sit here and name lots of situations where tipping at some point in the trip got me something from that person later in my same journey or in a future journey that worked out quite well. So a few dollars can go a long way. They never get tired of amazing sights is the last one on the list.
I would agree with that. People ask me sometimes with my annual tours, especially, how can you... No, don't you get tired of this place? How can you come here year after year? And I mean, places I love. They're like a fine wine. They just get better.
If you take me to a great show on Broadway, I can go and see another one the next night and the next night and the next night. I might need a night off at some point in time, but I'd be ready to go back again. So I don't think it's not always. Sometimes do I get a little tired of taking people places? Yes, but I love their reaction or taking somebody someplace that they've never been and always wanted to be. My 80-plus-year-old aunt who got to Hawaii for the first time in her life a month or so ago, and it just made her very happy. There comes the music. That means it's going to be time for us to go. Thank you, Clayton, for filling in for Tom.
It was a pleasure. Happy New Year, everyone.
I will remind you all to dance like nobody's watching. You can catch a lot of good things, plus a great Christmas story at TravelGuysRadio.com. Tom and I will see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Never.